Blog Talk Radio.
What is it? It's just 7 o'clock.
Is it 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
Well, then you ain't got it on. You got to turn on your Blog Talk Radio show.
No.
It ain't said nothing. It'll tell you when it's time for you to hook up.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, please don't turn and walk away. What I seems kind of bold. Well, it's a question that should run deep, deep down in your soul.
What would happen if people were sitting in churches throughout the world for centuries?
What would happen
with the image of an African American man as savior of the world before them?
It's a message. Message of concern. What will this do to the mind of the world's children? What will this do to their minds? What will this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
What would happen to the world's children put under a figure of a particular race, presented pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men?
Tell me what would happen.
Tell me what would happen.
It's a message of concern. What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would this do to their mind? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
Holy Quran, 4:3, verse 64 says, "Say, O people of the book, come to common terms that between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say ye bear witness that we at least are Muslims, bowing to God's will.
A message of concern. Wait a minute before you criticize. The question is long overdue. I've come to realize this important message lends words to the wise. Take a look at the big picture and open up. Open your eyes. What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would this do to their minds? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? It's a message of concern.
Civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no God. We are only men, mortals from the mortal. He, God, created. Listen to the message of concern.
Uma they say Tom Rajin. Bismillah Rahman or Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbi Lahidameen. Rahman or Rahim. Ashadu ilahi laha illallah. Ashadu ilahi ne Muhammad al Rasulullah. We only bear witness and we testify there's no God but one God whose proper name is Allah. He is the creator of this creation that we live on. He created this creation to test all of us and see which one is worthy of the great reward he wants to give us for living the good life that he has given the prophet to share with us on how we supposed to use this life for. So we thank Allah. We thank him for blessing us to be Muslim in this day and time. This is May 19, 2022. We have came up a mighty long way, thanks to Allah. So we are here tonight to fight the evil scheme that was given to us as brothers that have separated us and caused us great harm, caused us great calamities on each other. Satan came up with a scheme. Who is Satan? He's any man or any woman to take on weak ideas and wrong thinking and lies. That is Satan. And Satan is real. He's a human being that have no ability to want to hear and obey the creator of this creation. His job is to keep us out of the paradise, out of the good life that God have promise us for living a good life here on this earth. So this is the Block Talk Radio Station, pointing to the evil that caused all the problems, especially to human beings, and the simple problem that Satan have caused, color conscious, allow on God, trickery, falsehood, so-called voodoo, and everything else. Satan is the author of all these things. And he did it to divide the human family up. And it had worked. That scheme had worked. And it works against Satan. It's always going to be working against Satan. So we here to bring some clarity to that situation so we can live on this earth and removing all racial image of this message of concern is putting us in the forefront of removing this problem, because every man and every woman on this earth is related to through Adam and Eve. Nobody, no one, excuse me, no one, no doctor, no scientist can argue about the fact that we all come from Adam. Now, they can come and tell you a theory that they came up with, that they put on paper, but when you check out the theory, they can't even start proving it. They only going by what they feel. And they feel that way because they want you, especially most science, don't want you to believe in God, but want you to believe in science. We want you to believe in science as well as being the creator or the one who created science. That's Almighty God Allah. So that is why we're here tonight. We're here tonight to remove all of the false image of God. That is why we're here. And if you want to join into this conversation, all you got to do is match one on your cell phone or on your telephone, and you will come into the queue. That means that we will see you, your hand raised, and then we will cut your mic on and let you join into this most civilized intelligent information that going on in the world today. So we here, we like to, before we go another step further, open this talk with a prayer. And this prayer is called Al-Fatiha. It means to open. First we would say it in the Arabic language, then we would say it in the English translation. Humalay Shaitan Rajin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu, Iyyaka Nasta'in, And then it's Geraldo Mustakin. Geraldo Ladina Andor, lay him. Glory MacDubia, lay him. Waladoni. We seek protection from Satan, the rejecting enemy, the outcast. With the name of God, God is most gracious and God is most merciful. God is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we worship and thy aid we seek. Allah, please continue always showing us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favors on, and not of those who wrath is brought down a gorse grave. I mean, we greet you again in the most excellent greeting, the greatest greeting of all the greetings in the world. And that greeting is the greeting where God has given the prophets to give to the people to let them know how to treat each other, and that's with peace. And that is the greatest greeting of all the greetings in the world. There's no other greeting. Match that greeting, and this greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. Simply mean God, peace be unto you. This is the Block Talk Radio Station coming out of California, sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. So we want you to know that it's Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School coming to every city and town where there's a population of human beings called themselves Muslims, inshallah. And this show is sponsored, put together by Amin Muhammad of California. We thank him for this Block Talk Radio Station and opportunity to share talk about the problem and solution to these problems of racism in the world. Racism is the counteract of the aim and purpose of Satan himself. If he can, his job is to divide and conquer, and that is what you see in America. We are divided and being conquered against all the economic growth that every human being has to have in order to establish itself as a human being. You have to establish yourself as a human being, and economics is what God wants all of us to have. But African America, we own nothing, a great amount of nothing, because of the lies that have been given to us about the image. Have made us think that we can depend on the image to give us everything. And the proof of that, when you go downtown, you see nobody but our people going into those skyscrapers, them big tall buildings to go to work for somebody, or going to work for the same people that brought us in, that hadn't become people yet. People love people. Human beings supposed to love human beings. But when one human being called itself white, and the other call themselves black, it ain't going to be nothing but racism or problem with those people until truth come and clear up the lie that both have accepted, huh? That God got a son. You hear some people been to college, been to the top colleges, will argue with you that God had a son, and he got a son out of all the people in the world. He picked the same people, a son, with the people that brought us in and did us so wrong, worked us 400 years, took our knowledge, took our culture away from us, took our ability to support each other, took all that away from us, and made us dependent on them, and then gave us an image of them to serve as their Lord and Savior. Huh? What kind of people would do that? Of people who've been really influenced by Satan. They show you Count Dracula. Count Dracula goes in and he bites some people, and he suck out all their blood and they die. And then when you see them later on in the movie, they worse than Count Dracula because they looking for blood. And this is what happened to our Caucasian brothers. They've been lied to and lived under their lies so long. They don't want to give it up. They not no chosen people. God didn't send them in the world to abuse and misuse us, and then put us in the world to be bruised and misused of each other. But that is what's happening. And how would it go away? The truth had to come. Jesus told them in the Bible, which they read, that little sentence there, they don't support. They don't even think about it. Jesus didn't say no when he was born, when he died. He didn't say no all that foolishness. He said no the truth. And the truth will set us free. And the truth is that we as African-American people have been put down more than any people in the history of this world. No other people have been put down. Even the Jews claiming they had 400 years of bondage. That is a lie. Though most of them Jews know their culture, know their name. When they went into the oven, when they got put into the oven by Hitler and his people, they know their name. They know their culture. And the whole story about Hitler, the truth got to be told how he became Hitler. He didn't become Hitler because he was born evil. He wasn't born evil. He was born and put in a situation that made him evil. Huh? The human being naturally born a Muslim, all of us. We all born to submit our will to do the will of God. But when we get off course because a lie has been told, because truth has been kept away from us, because we've been put into a dungeon and been treated like animals and been raised like animals, then you can feed those little child mind anything. But the nature will always rise up, the nature of being free, the nature of being a human being, the nature in what God put in us to worship, nothing in him. You can't kill that nature. You can't destroy it. You can push the delay button on it. You can put a hold up button on it. But you can't stop human beings from believing in one God. You can give more than one God. For a while, they'll do that out of fear. They will do that, and may like they drinking blood and all that other stuff, communion. They'll sing and shout, but when the truth comes, they want to sing and shout on some land that they own. They want to sing and shout because their children are going to a school and get really educated, not getting put in reverse. The public schools is a school that will put you in reverse. You go there as a man or a boy, and you come out thinking you're a woman. You go there, a little girl, you come out thinking you're a man. That's reverse. God scarred the whole nation about that. So who reading the Bible? Who pushing the truth that God telling us to have? We said that the followers of Emmanuel D. Muhammad and others, because wherever there is truth, there's light. And we want to keep the light on so the truth can keep shining so we can clean this evil situation up. And we have the tools to do that. This lifeline this message concern of Block Talk Radio Station is pointing to the solution to that problem. All praise is due to Allah for Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. We thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. We thank Allah for all the other things, like Mosque, like what B-Man YD Muhammad left us, and all the great brothers and sisters that working out in this country trying to clean it up. And when you look around, the people are waiting on us to do what we need to do to clean this situation. They waiting on us. So let's don't let ourselves down. Let us don't go out this world as the most backwards people ever been born because we refuse tonight. We have to realize we don't own nothing. And we talk about neighborhood. Long as you stay in a neighborhood, you don't own 90% of the structures in that building. You don't call no shot. You don't have the government back in your neighborhood, the police protecting your neighborhood that you trust and love. You ain't got no neighborhood. You only got somewhere to lay your head. And they know that. They know that we only got somewhere to lay. And that's why everything that in those stoves that we go purchase, we are purchasing. We're getting it from them. So Well, let's work to change it. I'm gonna bring. See that the imam had raised his hand, and so let me bring him in to continue to share with you some of the solution to the problems of racism and being broke and being lied to and being crucified. You know, ain't nobody been crucified like talking about Jesus told all that lie on Jesus. He coming back. He been crucified. If I nail a man to a cross, I didn't crucify him. I just killed him. And we want to make that clear. Christopher Columbus discovered America. We got to get all the truth right there. Is the people of Muslim, the other people already here, when Christopher brought it behind over him. We had to tell the truth. We had to, so they've been telling that lie ever since I went to school. And they don't tell it like it is now because the truth is on the scene. They don't have a blonde hair by Jesus now. They got a light skin, a brown eyed, dark person. Parading as Jesus Christ now because they see the truth is out there. So they got to change. They got to change the way they do things because their lies are coming to end. So let me bring Brother Imam Ibrahim up from Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Ibrahim Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, yes. Well, you guys, you can drop it down and come on and join us, get in this conversation. You got it, my dear brother.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. All praises be to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, sustainer, the keeper of all the worlds, the one that deserves everything, the one that promotes good in all the human beings if they want good. We have to understand when we say, that Allah is the Lord of all the world, all the systems of knowledge. But our teacher taught us, Allah is not the Lord of the world of ignorance, corruption, and lies. He's not the Lord of that. Yet he created the systems. He created the whole world. But he separates himself from anything that's impure. So what about that lie they brought us? Do you think God would uphold that? Or do you think he would separate himself from it? He has separated himself from it. That's why you see all the chaos going on now. All the confusion. That's a part of Satan's plan. He has so much confusion in the world that many people can't see. They're blinded by the emotion. Their own emotions that have even been corrupted. And that is Satan's job, to keep you confused. Keep you thought on the balance, thought off, where you cannot detect him leading you. Yet he leads you and you don't even see it. That's another scheme that he has. But you know, one of the biggest problems we have, and many of my own beloved brothers and sisters that are Muslim, we're caught up in some of the same things that the Christians is caught up in. Only thing that separate them from the Christians and other religions is that they do believe in Allah. Now, they may be a weaker set of Muslim, but they still believe in Allah, and our job is to help them to come to Allah properly through the books that he had gave us, which are blueprints. You buy a brand new car, you got a book that come with that car that tell you how to operate that car properly, show you how to preserve the car, show you what kind of chemicals could use to keep the car clean. See, they give you that manual. So why wouldn't God give us a manual? And then when he gave us one, why don't we accept it and read it, where we can preserve life like he wants us to? You know, you get in a conversation with the Christian, the first thing you say, well, you know, yeah, I eat the hog, I eat all of it, from the rooter to the tooter, and ain't nobody going to stop me from living it. No, because you're doing what man say do. What you mean? In Leviticus, first chapter, from verse 1 to 7, it says that you're not even supposed to touch it. It is unclean. Don't even touch his dead carcass. But yet you indulged in it, and you think you're doing right. So that means that you do not respect respect now, the guidelines that God had placed in the manual, which is a book, scripture for you to live your life. Now we wonder why we catching all the hell we have caught and still catching. And why does enemy play such a role? Because somebody among them said that, which is Paul, who you want to base your life on, something he said, who never seen Jesus. We got proof documented on they never seen, never knew it. Had the nerve to tell the people, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out. Now, that's trickery. That's psychology. I can give you two meaning of that. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. What comes out. Well, that goes both ways, because things that you place in your mouth that God tells you not to eat, isn't that defiled in you? And then when you bring things out of your mouth that God had asked you not to bring out your mouth, like blasphemy, using God's name in vain. See, this thing can be go two or three ways, but the thing is the psychology that Satan used locked you up. So who is Paul to tell somebody it's not what go in your mouth before you? Well, come on. You see, that's why the Jews was chasing him to do what? They were chasing him to kill him for bringing about that lie, because men went back to Eden Hall. Now, see, but all this, and then what I'm saying, you praise these people. And then we got our brothers and sisters that are Muslim, who Allah sent a man to us. He chose one from among us, taught him, boost his spirit away to see things that the average human being couldn't see, and done such a wonderful work in turning us around, even us, pagan worshipers. The same thing Mr. Falcon is doing, worshiping a man, a Caucasian. And they want to lie and mix it up, and his mama was this, and daddy, well, it don't make no damn difference. Excuse my language. You still worship him, and you got pictures all up in your temple where you pray. Muslim, believers, even the Jews, they don't have pictures in their synagogue, in the mosques and masjids, when they go to pray. And if God said, do not make no engraved image of me, ask Farrakhan the father why they got it in their temple. But yet, we got a man that God sent us. And you know what I mean? Oh, y'all, you man, y'all, all y'all do is go around and praise the Wadi Muhammad. You know. Wait a minute, hold it. So you're telling me that I cannot praise my leader? What do praise mean? It is just to honor a person. And what did God say in the scripture? Because I'm going to make a lie to you now. What did God say in the scripture? He said, honor thy mother and thy father. Honor is another word that says praise them. So what? You praise them from the work that they've done and written you, bringing you up. You praise the woman for bringing you into the world and then cross the leg when you was on your way out and then babied you, pampered you, always if you got the age of 18 years old or beyond that before you left home, prepared you for the world, a confusion that you would go into. Praise our plan. We love the. Oh, no, no, wait. No. We talking. No, wait a minute. Oh, y'all worship email. Y'all worship Warren Beeman. Y'all ain't supposed to worship no man. Okay, well, let me say this then. I just proved to you what God said in scripture. Then you talk to me. You better talk to me with scripture. Don't come in with what you think on your mind is right or what you think on your mind is wrong. Whatever you think, you should be able to back it up with scripture. I just told you, God said, honor thy mother and father. Another word to say, praise. Okay, so that's not good enough. So, yeah, y'all got to email Muhammad, and yeah, he done a one word, but y'all ain't supposed to praise him. Well, okay, I just brought one point out, but now I'm finna bring another one out. And let's go. We're going to see who's right, because this image has got us so messed up. Even in some our past life, we worshiped that man on the cross, too, before we became Muslims. Yes, we was caught up in the deep, too, and we prayed that piece of wood. And white folk walking down the street, a little boy, Caucasian, 5 years old, you got to stop and tilt your hat was that? That's honoring him, respecting him, and putting him in a position to think that he's superior than you. Okay, so back to my point. Avoid thee, Muhammad. So I just told you the scripture, what Allah said, honor thy mother and father, which in other words, they praise them. And then we got a prayer that we can bring up to Father, prove to you that we can praise our leaders, our parents, our big brother, people that meant something to us in our life. Allah, guide me among those you have guided, and preserve me among those you preserve, and befriend me among those you befriend, and bless me in whatever thou do granted, and save me from the punishment of what you have judged. So when you order, no order is given against your order, and he who you befriend is not disgraced. Blessed art thou, our Lord, and highly exalted. We ask for thy forgiveness and turn to thee, and we praise. Only not. And we praise. I'm doing like Prophet Muhammad. He said things three times before Pastor Muhammad. And we praise and venerate the prophet. Now, what's that? We praise and venerate the prophet. Why do we praise and venerate Muhammad? Because of the work he done. Why we praise and venerate Moses, Esau, Islam, Jesus, Noah, Adam, all these prophets? Why? Why? Because of the job or the mission that God set them on, and they done their mission, and they was worthy to be praised. But now here's the key. We can praise you, but we only worship one. We only worship Allah, the one that we tell you about on this broadcast. We worship Allah. We don't worship no man. We don't worship nothing. We worship Allah, Allah alone, but we can praise you for your great works. I'm praying to Allah that every time we come on Block Talk Radio, and when I say praise, I'm going to bring another thing to our mind too. And I'm coming from Scripture. Well, Allah says the Quran. Now, listen, believers. Now, see, you can talk to Muslims, but I like to talk to the believers. Because that's because you say you're Muslim, that don't necessarily mean that you're a believer. You just say that you're that which nature had produced in you, meaning that if I'm a Muslim, I should be one. I should be one that had turned myself towards Allah, right? Freeing myself and making my will palatable, my will tied up into God's will. That's what a Muslim is. We give you a lot of terms, but but I like to talk to the believer. Why? Because when you talk to a believer, you don't have that headache trying to explain something all the time. Because he already knows and she already knows, and they read Scripture. So let's go to Scripture. See, that's the only thing going to save us. I don't care what we talk about, black, white, voodoo. You got to come from Scripture, because that's the only thing going to save the people, because that's why God sent them down to us. Okay, so let's go to Scripture. You hear a lot of Muslims say that. You know, we're going to pray for each other. You know, pray for me. No. Allah says the Quran. He says pray. To the believer, oh, you who believe, men and women. He said, prayer is for me. Prayer is for me. So as every believer, at the prescribed time that we make our prayer in a day, we are concentrating and praying to Allah to forgive us our sin, to have more mercy upon us, bless us, make us more successful in life, bless our children, to receive him, respect him. See, that's our job as believers. That's what we pray for when we're praying. Allah said pray for him. So we are praying to Allah to ask him to continue to bless us. So I can't pray for you. The air breath that I breathe wastes my time, and the average person that asks you that or tell you that is the one that don't even pray. So why am I waste my time with you talking about pray for me? No. Now, as Muslims, according to Quranic language, I can make dua for you. So what does dua mean? Dua is a request. Brother, sister, make dua for me. Okay, so as I do my prayer, I'm praying to Allah. When I finish Allah, I make a cup of dua I'm making do I not? I'm asking Allah for something. I can always include you in my do I. It's a request that you made to me to ask Allah something. Now I can do that, but not pray. No, pray for me. Pray for Allah. For me to my Lord. Well, I will ask my Lord at the end. I'll make a dua for you, a request. Oh, Allah, I'm requesting you, Lord, to answer brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so's request. They're having a hard time, Lord. But, Lord, all we do is what you say. You have told us the only thing that we are responsible for is to make this message plain. But we see the schemes of Satan, Lord, has creeped in on us so bad that we can't hardly recognize the thing that you tell us to do. Because we're too busy getting misinformation and try to apply it, and it doesn't work. That's the request that I make for all the believers, male or female. My prayers is for me. That's why when Imam Muhammad taught us that when we salam out after making prayer, our head is to our chest, you salam out to the heart. You go down to the heart, I salam alaikum to the right, come back to the heart, I salam alaikum to the left, and come back to the heart. Why? 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 Because things that resonated that you hear and learn, it resonated in the heart. Allah revealed the Quran, the final revelation, to Prophet Muhammad's heart. Then he let Prophet Muhammad deal with the intellect of the human being, but the message is in his heart. So when you drop your head down to greet the heart is big enough to accept and accommodate the whole universe. I mean, it has room as a mercy. It has room for the other human being to come in and be taught properly. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening to us on Block Talk Radio. We are really grateful to Allah. And always remember that Allah's mercy, his mercy, he is most merciful before Adam was even created. And he was most merciful after Jesus was here and gone as well. That's why Prophet Muhammad, to whom Allah sent to the world, he said, I sent Muhammad to the world as a mercy to the world. And we, with the understanding and knowledge that he has blessed us with, we are a mercy to the world as well. Look at our background, look at our history, what we went through, and you tell me we're not a mercy to the world. So now we can be the baddest warriors in the world too, if that's what Allah wants us to be. But right now we're trying to be merciful. We're trying to pattern that lifestyle of mercy after Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This is what we're trying to do. And that's what we have to do in order to be successful. We have to pattern our life from the manuscript, that Allah set down and was what? It was incorporated into the life of Prophet Muhammad, and that's why he became the best example for mankind. So the instruction that we got, we had a human being that lived the life of that manuscript and showed us how to live as well. Because that's the only thing going to save us. Ain't no other book you read, Playboy, none of that crap, and that ain't going to save you. Because it's not going to set your heart right. It's not going to set your nature in the proper position that God created you in. You got to come back to Scripture. And that's what we're moving the people. See, we're moving the people out of the hands of Satan. Out of his clutches, his hands, Satan. And if you spell it, you know, like Santa Claus, Satan's Claus. Spell the word out, Satan's Claus. That's how he got you wrapped up in all the economical system to bring everything to him and leave you poor and ragged. And so what we have done by attacking his scheme, you can't kill it, but how you make it weak, you attack your scheme. See, he don't want to wrestle with the truth. He'll run from that. So we are in a position to make it clear by attacking the scheme of Satan. and bringing you from out of his clutches into the light of reality that God had established for the human being. And once we put guide you to that light, Satan cannot measure you as long as you're in the light. Now, you slip out that light, go back in the darkness, he's going to tear your behind up. Yes, so allow Satan to transform himself from a jinn, that's another story, into Satan. And when he became Satan on his own, he allows himself to go wrong. Now, when we go out there and follow him, it's only by the grace of Allah that you make it back. If Allah allows you to make it back. So what he created, Satan, for is to whoop your behind out there, beat you down to nothing, spit on you, wipe your feet on you, poop up on you, everything. Let you know you ain't nothing on you. All I want you for is just to do my bidding. Fool. And Allah let you come back, slide back under that light. You better curl up in a knot in a fetus position and don't come up out of it. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we are very grateful for you to have the time to speak with you and for you to be able to sit and listen to what we say. And as my brothers always say, you can call us. You have the number and push one, come into the queue, raise your hand, and they will bring you in if you have any questions. And I pray that you ask, you come in and ask us a question about Scripture and see how far we can go. That's what we want to do. Even our Caucasian brother, you can come and ask us about Scripture, but you better know it yourself when we get to telling you. We're not going to let you try to fool us with the Scripture like Shaitan fooled you. Put you in a position to make you think that you was God yourself. When God said in the Bible, in your book, that God is not a man. Then he said, worship me in truth and spirit. So what did Jesus say? Know you the truth, and the truth will set you free. That means you've got to have the spirit, though. You see, you have to have the spirit to stand, to learn the truth, and then apply it to your life. And that's how you worship God in truth and spirit. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, as-salam.
Thank you, Brother Ibrahim, the imam. Hang around. So anybody got any question they would like to ask Brother Imam Ibrahim, all you got to do is match one, come into the queue, and we'll cut your mic on, and you can begin to ask him the question. You want to give a comment, or whatever you decide to do, you will be able to do it on this show, as long as there's not a whole lot of drama. So anybody who wants to continue speaking, we got a nice a full house tonight, so we're going to try to limit it to about 10, 15 minutes of talk, no longer than that, because we do have a pretty good house tonight. So anybody got any question about anything, then, I see we got Sujah Muhammad in the queue. If he wants to say something, that's match one to come into the queue. So we're here to not only just speak about the problem, but we also listen out for you who also have some solutions. No one knows everything, and we understand that. We all got something to contribute to remaking this world a good world for all of us to live in. And I think we have earned that. If you want to see some heroes, look at the African-American people. We are the true heroes, because we are the true survivors of this evil system that has been set up. So no one else have raised their hands, and you can raise them whenever you want to, and we will bring you in. So we do see that Brother Sujah Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, has raised his hand. So let's turn to him and see what he has to say tonight on this Frog Talk radio station. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Sujah Muhammad.
Well, thank you, Master Lamb. I'm I came into the queue. I'm on the freeway on my way to the masjid, and I'm going to yield. I'm going to yield.
You ain't got five minutes to share with us.
Yeah, I can share 30 minutes or an hour with you, but I'm on the freeway.
Well, thank you for being here.
And you go ahead and talk.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, you driving or somebody else driving? Are you driving?
No, I'm driving. Yeah, I'm driving.
Okay. Okay, we won't put you through that then. That's breaking the law. Okay, then. Well, we are going to cover it. We thank you for letting us know that you were there and you're going to go to the Thursday.
Every Thursday, I'm on my way to the mail. I just remind you of it.
Give everybody the greeting, inshallah. So we thank you. We did this the Black Radio Station. Okay, thank you, Brother Suja. You go? Okay, that's all next. Well, it's just a... anyone of the sisters want to say anything, sister Hodge or sister Quran? Anyone want to say anything that has an invitation? But we don't. We know we're not going nowhere without mothers. Mothers is one who sacrificed their boy's baby to all this crime and all this killing of the police. And we got one of the sisters, one of our sons, he's in prison now, and people promised they're going to come and help and try to help to get him released, and they ain't showed up yet. So we know people can talk, but a lot of people ain't ready or don't have the guts to do anything. They can talk. So, but I want to walk the walk. We don't see those people. We really know that some of our people that have been put to sleep. They have been put to sleep. So they're not going to do anything. So we're going to. Anybody else want to say anything? Just come on and speak up and speak out. We're here tonight to talk about removing all racial image commercials. We are here tonight to talk about the economic situation we in, how we don't build everybody's society but our own. We are one people, but we are one people that have been given idea we are many ethnic groups. And all the ethnic groups have came and walked on us like rugs, and they're living good, and we're barely making with the high price of groceries and gas and everything else we have to use. We are all struggling to survive in the year 2022. That shouldn't be like that. Everybody else should be struggling. We should be have it easier. We built this country off our blood and sweat. We built this country. We know the earth belongs to God. It don't belong to no man. But we built this country. They stole our ideas and built this country. We made the first car. We made the first air conditioner, the Coca-Cola and all the other things that we can go on and be talking about all night long that we helped make. And now they took all that away from us, giving us a school that's supposed to be educating us, and that's a public school, which it has led us back. Yeah, it's encouraged you to get a job, but then they bring us over here for a job. Having the job been done on us through the school system said, tell your mama, tell the little children at school, if your mama disciplining you for any reason,
your father disciplining you for any reason, you tell your mama we're going to come out there and lock her up. We'll lock your father. Huh? So the child hear that? The child go home and hold that over his mother and father's head, and then as soon as the child get out of order, the mama and father try to discipline that child, and next thing you know, the father of the mother is handcuffed and taken away and put in jail for trying to be a mother and father. You gonna tell me that's a good public school? You gonna tell me that? And then when no children that didn't follow the mama order goes out and shoplift or do something wrong, they take and lock them children up and put them in a foster home, and they do things to them that a dog wouldn't do to another dog. This is the kind of life, this is the kind of thing we've been under. And we can't see the clear evidence that these people keep their scheme going. You go to the Walmart and look at the wall and see all them missing and murdered children, all them children that left out of the house half naked and ain't been seen. They talking about sex traps. Some of them probably over in Hong Kong right now. Some of them probably in Egypt and Africa doing everything just to survive. And the government knows that. And they ain't stopping this. You got to wait 3 days to report somebody missing, huh? And then when they get missing, they ain't looking for them no way. And they don't run into them. But Walmart is warning you. You go to Walmart, look on the missing people on the wall where they got the missing people, number of young people. Sometimes they got on the wall missing. So this comes from that image. If a person calls you black, he ain't going to have much love for you. If somebody you call somebody white, you don't put them so high over you. Huh? And you know Caucasian people look after each other over on that fact alone because they all got light skin. They look after each other. Huh? And we the one with the children singing us under the ground, calling us no good. Calling us by the N-word, the nigger. God ain't never said he made no nigger. He said you can become niggersly. You can be stingy. Ain't the Caucasian the biggest niggers that the world has ever seen according to the way they have treated us? They the real niggers. But we here to help them. We realize that we are brothers. And Allah said, you supposed to love your brother. If you want to get in paradise, you got to love. You got to love for your brother what you love for yourself. So we can only reach out and tell them the truth and get them, try to get them back on track. But all the material gain and all the things done stolen, done made them hard-hearted, and they don't want to hear what you got to say. They don't think they should hear. They don't have no respect for, hardly any respect for Barack Obama. And anybody that look like him, because why? Because they call themselves white and they call you black. And you accepted that word. Yeah, we made the word black. We liberated. We made the word black proud. But they still condemn it by saying that the black cat is the worstest cat. The angel food cake is a white cake. The dark meat costs more than the white. The white meat costs more than dark. So they still have not given up on keeping that idea they are white people. When I tell them white, they ain't white, they drop their heads and wave their hands and look like they be saying, y'all finally waking. Thank you, Allah, for your man, wife, and day, mom. So I'm going to bring, since nobody raised their hand, I'm going to bring Brother Imam Ibrahim back up and say a few words to somebody raise their hand and want to say, Quran, do you want to say something? Oh, there she go. She done raised her hand. There go that brave sister that her son had been put away by the and went to the army to help fight for this country. And he ended up about to fight the army that he got involved with, and they put him in jail and accused him of a crime he didn't commit. And they've been doing that for years. So I'll let Quran come on if you want to share that with us. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Karan.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I want to say is that I got confused on something. I was reading about the Jewish. Every time the Jewish, what they do is they be sending me some email, and they want me to, I guess they invite everybody to, a lot of people, into their class, their study class, And I said, I'd like to see what they're studying about, And so they brought down their law. They have a Jewish law.
So Quran.
Yes, sir.
Quran. You tell
yes,
us that.
Sir.
Could you tell us, get us outline of what happened to your son, and then bring it up if you don't mind. If you don't want to, then don't. But you can go back to the Jewish talk. Okay.
Well, my son he joined the army, and I was glad that he joined the army. Our brothers. All our brothers look good in the uniform. I'm not lying. Our brothers look good in the uniform. And so, and he knew that too, because he even said it. He said, Mom looked at me like she was glad, that I was a soldier. And so, but what happened was that he didn't even want to go over there. He told them, he said, see, they have a thing they call, I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, they call, it's something like I forgot what you call it, but it's some kind of contradiction. Anything, it's something where that if you have if they're having a war against another country, and you have family over there, you don't have to fight, because it's like a conflict of interest, because you're fighting against your family, so you really don't have to fight. So he put in this paper. Letting them know that he didn't want to fight because he was a practiced Muslim. And he had that right. But the sergeant, the captain, he took the paper and he tore it up and said that we need all the warm soldiers. We need all the warm soldiers. We need all soldiers, And I know that could be because they left a lot of them behind here in the United States. So, but the thing about it is he was the only African-American that went over there. Forget he called me. He called me and he said, Mom, I said, I'm getting ready to go, to Kuwait. And I said, wait a minute. I thought you wasn't going to go there. You were going to get out the army. And then he said that my sister had talked to him and told him that might be his destiny or whatever, like that. And so, but he said he had 28 days. And he said, well, why don't you come down here, and they told me they wouldn't let him come down. He don't know no more than a state down. He in Tennessee and he in Louisiana, and they tell him it was too far. He couldn't come down. So I didn't even get a chance to see him. But anyway, when he got over there, he was, and then he had another brother too, African-American brother, but he AWOL. They had 300 Caucasian soldiers. And the other brother, AWOL, I guess, and Hassan was the only one. He was the only African-American there out of 300 soldiers, and they was all Caucasian. And then the trial, I kept putting emphasis on it that he was the only African-American soldiers in there. So what they did, they brought in some more commanders and brothers that wasn't there, and they pretend that they was there, but they wasn't there at all, It was just them. But what happened was that he said they kept teasing him, told him that he looked like one, he could die like one. And he said when he used to walk the yard, they used to call him, raghead. And they used to do it. And I said, here it is. They are abusing a soldier. And then they told him that they're going to go over there and they're going to rape all the women and kill all the Muslims and the children and all like that. And he said that they had told him that only thing this company was supposed to do was to call the cleanup crew. They have a crew after the war, then they go back, they go and they clean, they call it a cleanup crew. That's what he said. That's what they're going to do. And, but anyway, they tricked him over there. And they tricked him in the army, because my daddy said that this boy had two master degrees, 2 degrees. I didn't even know he had it himself. Myself, he had 2 of them. And they said, my daddy said, he didn't supposed to go in as a foot soldier. He's supposed to go in as a lieutenant. He's supposed to go in as an officer because he was educated. But anyway,
that's right.
But anyway, make a long story short, when they told him, he said that when he went over there, when he went into the camp where the captains and the commanders are, he said they start pointing at him, talking about, like you're gonna shoot somebody like that. Now this is supposed to be the commanders and captains, and that's what they're doing. And even in the trial, the captain said, yes, they did harassed him and teased him. They said they did. And that was against the, and they didn't supposed to do that. That was against the law, you know. I mean, and the, you don't do that to the soldiers. You don't supposed to do that to soldiers. That's not the art of war, you know, how you going to go fight out with a soldier, and here it is, you know, you treating them like dirt. But anyway, what happened was that all that stuff they said that happened didn't happen. I went to the trial. They said they were asleep. They wasn't asleep. They was all watching television. They said that he shot the captain in the back. No, he didn't shoot the captain. How he shot the captain? They said the captain got shot by a friendly fire. He got shot in the leg, and he got shot in the back. And so my question was that if he got shot in the leg and shot in the back, which one did he shoot first? If Hassan shot him, did he shoot in the leg and he fell down and raised his jacket up? No, because they said he was standing up when that happened, you know. So, the captain, they got shot by a friendly fire, and they had proved that. But what they did is that because they had got the bullet, and they said it didn't come from Hassan's rifle. They said it didn't come from his rifle. And then even the soldiers said that they didn't see him. But thing about it is they captured 3 immigrant Muslims. That's the Shiites. They captured 3 of them, but they let them go. So that means that if you capture someone, that means that they are in the act. And so that's what. And so they did that. But anyway, they ended up finding him. I guess they had to blame it on somebody because they had to find. And no, this is what they say. They said that, and he said that they gave him drugs. He said he thought they was giving everybody drugs, but they only gave it to him. They only gave him drugs. And then when they tried to, they said, well, let's test, you know, they wanted to test his blood, but then they said that they couldn't test his blood because they didn't have no facility that was equipped to take a blood test. But then in Kuwait, they had the biggest high-quality hospital there was there. Found out that they had the biggest. I said, well, how could they not weren't equipped to take blood when they had the best equipment right there? They had the biggest hospital right there. And so, but anyway, they end up finding him. They didn't have no proof. They had no proof that he did that. They had no witness. They didn't have nothing. Even now, when he went, the last time he went to the Supreme Court, the judge, they said that he finished all of his, you know, all of the matters they had to take care of dealing with the, you know, with proving this and proving that. But then Hassan, he proved, see, his IQ was 150. When they tested, his IQ was 150. So so I told him, I said, you could help yourself. So what he did, he found out that they didn't have no evidence. Right now, they have no evidence for him to be sitting on death row. But he brought that up to the judge. The judge looked at it and said that this was the judge. He said the judge, and it was live, too. And I had the print. I was sending it to different people, you know. And then the judge said that he didn't want to hear it.
Wow.
He said he didn't want to hear it. That's what he said. That's how they feels about us. That's why I say America, they got the best equipment on the planet Earth, but they have not won one war because they don't know how to treat their soldiers. They don't know how to treat their soldiers. They don't know. He could have been a good, that boy was smart. He or she is smart. He's still smart, alhamdulillah. He don't have to study for a test. You know, like you had to study for them city tests and them state test. Me and my son, we had to be struggling. He go there and take the test and ace it, just like that. He was one of those. He was one of our children that's like that. Those children that you that y'all have in y'all family like that. He was one of those too. They are just, they are really smart. Alhamdulillah. And so that basically was happening for my son. And so now I'm still fighting, you know, for justice for him. Alhamdulillah.
We're reaching out.
Well, maybe we'll find the people that we need to get this thing, this job done, to get your son out of here.
Pray to find the people.
Pray, yeah.
Make dua for him to keep him strong and not give up and give in.
Yeah, everybody they said one thing and do another.
Let me tell you, Akbar, let me tell you one more thing. Before I forget. The attorney, he said, let me tell you something off the record. He said, eventually, they was gonna kill Akbar. They had already had it planned, and all of them had those Confederate flags in their wallet. So he said they were, and then my brother was over there in Vietnam. He said that's all they flew. That's all they was flying was the Confederate flag. They didn't fly the American flag. That's all they was flying, the Confederate flag over there in Vietnam. Alhamdulillah.
That's all it was. Looked like all the Confederates
were
over there
fighting
instead of taking
our boys. Okay, now you want about the Jews. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Keep bringing back, and maybe somebody would get interested, because this is wrong what he did your son, and they probably done did a whole lot of more like that, and he's sitting in that way waiting on us to do something. So let's keep bringing it up.
Okay, but let me tell you one thing. I know some brothers that was in the Army, and they said that they have, and my son has said it too. He said they have sergeants, and I guess those in the military, they know. They have sergeants out there that could kill you and nothing could be done about it. They could do that. You said they could kill you and nothing could be done about it. They give them that right. They give them those type of sergeants that right, some of them.
See, mommy's son got killed in military too like that.
Yeah. It's the money to come on the lifeline.
Her son got killed.
Yeah, like that.
And he said he knew that they was going to kill him. He said because they said they knew they was going to kill him because when they was going out, I forgot what you call it, but he said when they was going out, then he's supposed to be sitting in the back with the foot soldiers because he was a staff sergeant, but they put him up there with the captains and the lieutenants. He said they knew they was getting ready to pop him then, and they said, and like I said, the lawyer said, yeah, eventually. That's what they was getting ready to do. And then that lawyer, Musa Dan Fudio in Atlanta, Georgia, he took all my money, took all our money. My son told me to give him the greeting. He said when he come out, give him the greeting. He said he took all our money, and then he insulted me and told me he just wanted to see how I – watch me beg. He said he just wanted to see how much I could beg. He said, I didn't ask him right. And then I said, well, I tried to ask him real nice. He said, I just want to see how much what you could be, how you could be. That's what he told me. I said, wow. And he made so out. My son was so happy. He said, Mom, get a Muslim. Get it. Because I had a good, because Ramsey Clark, he had gave me an attorney. And I said, this brother, he gave me an attorney. He's right there in South Dakota, this attorney. And he's a real good attorney, because he was working with us. That's the ex-attorney general of the United States. And then he said, no, Mom, I want to get a Muslim. So this sister in Alabama, she was running for mayor. She referred him to me. You know what I'm saying? And told me that he was a criminal lawyer and found out he wasn't nothing. He was a civil lawyer. And he gave me an impression that he was. He just took our money. Gave me the impression he was, because I ain't know nothing about no criminals or no lawyer. This is the first time I ever experienced something like this. And he must have knew he took all our money and insulted me. And then I did call, he went to that bastion in Atlanta under Timonel Amin. And then he had one of the attorneys, one of his or imams, Abraham came and he talked to me, you know, and everything about what had happened. But the brother, he still, you know, but anyway, he thought he got away with it, but he ain't going to get away with nothing. And then he told the attorney that he don't know how I got his number. He didn't do nothing. I ain't lying. He just took all money. I ain't never seen nothing like. And then when I talked to Imam Ward D. Muhammad, I was telling him what had happened, and he bowed his head, and I told him, I said, that happened to you too. I just said to myself, oh, I forgot that happened to you too. And, and he was going to help me. He was going to, 45 days before he passed, he said that he was going to help me to seek justice. But he was going to be at the, at Supreme, they have, what you call this here, they come before the Supreme Court, and he was going to be there. And so I was going to be there, Ramsey Clark was going to be there, and so Imam Wardi Muhammad said that he was going to be there also, alhamdulillah. He said to let him know a week ahead of time, yeah. So we're still seeking justice for him.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us again. We're going to try to get more people, tell more people, and maybe we can get somebody. We at least take about 10 to 15 people, go to the federal building and remind them what this government has done to one of our citizens of this country.
But I had a brother, and I think Amin, know him. He know him. That's Zafa. You know, that was Zafa. Mm-hmm. And he was helping me, and he told me, he said, when I start doing the campaign, don't forget him, and told me to make, can I add, the brother's name, his Muslim name, that was Ralph Brown. He said, make sure that, you know, you add him on that to the case, too. And I promised him that I will, alhamdulillah.
Jamil Al-Amin. Imam Jamil Al-Amin.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write the name down because I want to make sure that I, say
Jamil
his right name. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Now, give us a little bit on that, on the jury thing you was talking about, Sister Graham.
So they be sending me different, you know, email inviting me to their classes and stuff like that, you know. So I said, you know what, I wanted one of the Torah. I wanted that, you know, but they don't give them free. I mean, it's not like they just don't have them like they give out Bibles, you know. And so so I really wanted one, so when I be doing the calendars, I could match up, you know, just like I did with the Bible and the Holy Quran, you know, I want to match it up. And so, but anyway, I was reading, they was inviting me to one of their classes, and it was telling about the Jewish law. It started with MIS, I don't have it in front of me, but it's the Jewish laws. And I was reading the laws, they had 13 of them. And I said, dang, I said, they believe everything that the Muslims believe. I said, the Muslims believe, Islam, we believe the same thing. But then I heard Imam Ward D. Muhammad stated that we was closer to the Christians than any other religion. And then that kind of confused me. And then I said, well, how is that? I said, well, maybe it's because they, I said, well, how is, and I still said, how is that? When they believe that Jesus is God and Jesus is the Son of God, that kind of confused me.
Explain that, Brother Email.
Well, I'm listening to it because, you know, yes, sir, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It's not that Imam Muhammad said it. It's what Allah said in the Quran. Allah said that we're closer to the Christians than we are the Jews. He said because of their faith. Their faith is strong. Now, we're not talking about the Christian that you got today. We're talking about the one that was established back then. They believe basically the way the Muslims believe. Now, when I was in the East, the Christians I met in the East, when you said, your God is so-and-so, they look at you like you're crazy. Because they say Allah. I'm talking about the Christians. They say Allah. They don't say God. So those ones that Allah describes us in the Quran, was the one that was coming along, and their faith was strong like ours. You know, a lot of them didn't believe in the Trinity and all that at first. And like I said, the one who established Christianity, that was Constantine, and Constantine is in the Quran as Zulkarnain. That's the history right there. You can read the footnotes on it. And you have to be careful to the Quran. Let me say this part about the Jewish. Now, you want a Torah or a Tararat or a Torah, but if you can get a Kabbalah. Kabbalah is something like a Hadith, but it's more like the thing that Moses done. That's a breakdown. Now, here's where you have to be careful at. You have two sets of Jews, and they have a lot of websites. You got the Jacobite. That's the one that's in New York City and the world that's controlling all the money, the gold, and et cetera. See, they have classes, and they set things up to get the people's attention because they know the law. But what's behind them trying to invite you in and stuff, that's another saying. So you got two, the Jacobite, and you got the one, the Orthodox. The Orthodox is the one that we associate with. The Jacobite, we don't associate with them. That's what you have to be careful at. Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, and then also to be a Jew, they got to adopt you. You just can't take an oath to be a Jew or say you want to be a Jew like you can do a Christian. You can go to a Christian church and get baptized, and you'll become a Christian. But you, to get in the Jewish faith, they got to adopt you. And they ain't adopting nobody, and they got a lot of money. So that's
it's just like the Masonic Order. In order to be a Mason or Eastern Star, you have to be adopted in. Then you have to be sworn in, and certain rituals you have to go through. It's the same thing. That's why you notice in the Quran. Now listen, in the Quran, the second chapter, Al-Baqarah, the second chapter is the chapter that the Masons, Shriners, and Eastern Star study once they get 33 in the third degree. Now why? Now listen at Al-Baqarah. That's the law of Moses. But we know there's no O's in Arabic. So is it Moses named Musa? So we're talking about the Masonic order. That's where they established it from. Right there from the Quran. Hmm. So those Jews back then, even the ones that came along, followed Musa. But anyway, let me go that way. That's why the Masons, when you join that order and reach a certain degree, then they place a Quran in your hand, blindfold you, take your room, take the blindfold off, put a Quran in your hand, and make you swear to the Legion, and they tell you that you have to read chapter 2 of this book. And chapter 2 is the law of Musa, the law of Moses. And they have names like we have. They got names Muhammad. I done met them. Rasul, they use those names in secrecy. But when they come back on the street, then they John, George, and all like that. So that's an order, and the Jews had the same kind of order. So now, what is the Masonic order? Masonic order is the order of Shaitan. That's the way it started. So I had to take you all back to Hammurabi. Hammurabi, back then, when he became in the leadership, he made the people turn back to worship one God. So he had an order of priests. And what they done, they gave a disc down in the valley where all the people stayed at in the community. They gave each people a different disc, meaning a different degree of knowledge. So when it happened, when he passed and a war broke out, what the priests did, they went back and collected all the discs and went up on the ground for about 5 years. And after 5 years, they submerged back on top. But what they done, they took the degrees and put them in the signs. And then the sign is only to get you in the door. You go to meet the Mason, you can knock three times. That's a master knock. They let you in. The sign ain't nothing. When you get in, you got to be able to talk now. And the best way to talk is no scripture. So that's how they're going to look at you. But anyway, that's how all this stuff started back then. You know, the Masonic order, we can take you all, but like I said, the code of Hammurabi, just like the Fatiha.
You know,
are you leaking out of Masonic order?
Beg pardon?
Are you leaking out the Masonic orders?
No, I'm not leaking out. I'm busting them out.
All right, then.
Long Wagma.
We feel our love.
Yeah, my grandpa, he was a Mason. Do they still have them? They used to have them around a lot, but I haven't seen many. But my grandpa, he was a Mason, and my grandmother, I had her ring. I have her ring, the one that the
right,
the one
Eastern Star
ring.
Eastern Star.
All our grandfathers, my grandfather, my uncle Dent, my mother's uncle. He was a grand basso over Michigan. He been in the Africa and everything. I went to visit him on his deathbed. He about 90-something years old, and he wanted to talk to me because I hadn't seen him since I was a child. So when I wanted to talk with him, he didn't talk too much. He laying on his bed. So my mother brought him in. She said, Uncle Dent, say, here he is. Here's my older son I was telling you about. And we raised up on his bed. She set me up. She set him up. So she went out. Me and him got to talking. I said, it's a very dark night out tonight. His eyes got big. So I say, Uncle Dent, I say, which way you traveling? I'm traveling east. He say, how you traveling, nephew? I said, I'm traveling west. He said, huh? I said, I'm traveling west. Why you traveling west? I said, because I heard a voice in the valley asking for a drink of water, the valley of the dry bone. I said, I come to supply that water. So he say, nephew, how far you been? I said, I've been up, down, all around, haven't reached no destiny yet. He looked at me, and he called my mama. He called my mama like he was having a heart attack. May, come here. So my mother ran in there. She said, what's wrong with this? Say, he know. Say, he know. Say, if I pass, give him all my books, my fares with the dimes and rubies on it. But when he passed, my mama's sister and her husband, they took him. I haven't got it yet, but that's all right. But just to show you, when Allah bless you with that information, and you bring that, let me tell you, Uncle Denton, man, I told you, he was a grandmaster over all of Michigan, all the lodges, traveling in and out of Africa and Australia. And here I come along and start talking to him, and he has a myth. I said, who is your mother and your father? He didn't even know. He got all them degrees. I said, mother and father, I have none, for I and the father is one. I am not my father, nor is my father me. My father, who he is, hit a key word, and I am who I am. I said, now, what is the I am? You speak of I am, nephew. I said, I'm going to tell you while you're on your deathbed. I say, everything comes from a word. I said, when God said the word, that's the I became manifest in the flesh, which is am. So you got spirit that's made manifest in the flesh, which came am is the flesh. So you say I am. That's why you go to the courtroom, you say I am he. You who? I am the spirit that have been made manifest in the flesh. Praise be to Allah.
Hello, Wagma. Hello, Wagma.
What's the problem that there's a sand? You see, job and there's a sand yet?
Say it again.
Talking about the feet and the desert sand.
Oh, the feet and the desert sand? Well, you know, the feet and the desert sand, that's just a sand. That's just something you can throw you off. See, here's how you can tell a Mason. There are seven signs, master signs that can never be changed. I master all seven of them. Now, it's certain signs, like I asked you, who is the widow's son? So when you say who the widow's son, they say, oh, I'm the widow's son. Then you know that's a false one. Mm-hmm. Because the widow's son is Ishmael. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know the one who got the real knowledge. See, the one that got the real knowledge say the son of the widow is Ishmael or Ishmael. Right. So the one that say I'm the widow's son, then I know you don't know. So they got a lot of sins they can throw out there. Right. Like I grabbed one of them by the tie. I said, oh, this is a silk tie. Yes, sir. I said, what that mean? That's silk and satin. That's that worm that came out and destroyed the what? This worm destroyed the kingdom of Solomon. He was so silky, slimy, that he was able to slide back and destroy the kingdom of Solomon. So all these little terms they got, if you can answer, they like, okay, again, me and Akbar was with them. And we got to talking. He wanted to pay me, and I told him no. He wanted to give us money. I told him no.
You know, it's a lot of knowledge. It's so funny, though, how the Masons have to pay for that 360-degree knowledge. They have to pay
That's
for
right.
it.
They have to pay for it. That is correct. And like we start out, when we say, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, but they have to do it too. And na Muhammad Rasulullah, but Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, you got 360 degrees right there.
Mm-hmm.
It take them, then see how I trap them. I say, you 33 and the third? Yes, sir. I said, what does the third degree mean? Huh? What does the third degree mean? Don't tell me you this, and you can't tell me what it means. I said, but I'm going to tell you because I'm your brother. 33 and the third. Here's the third. Allah, his messenger, and Shaitan. That's the third. To know who your Lord is, who his messenger is, and the one to deceive man. That's the third. Mm-hmm. So you got the 33, the third.
Well,
and 32,
right,
32 degrees, a lot of the African Americans only get 32 degrees. Why? 32 degrees is the freezing point of anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything below 32 degrees is freezing. And that's why a lot of them don't make it into the shrine. And those who make it, they dummies.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Very true.
All you have to do is study.
But tell me, I know we're not on this line, but what? Oh, Quran. I'm sorry, Quran. You're talking. But tell me this. Why is it that they're called Muslim sons?
Because Muslim. Muslim on their faces. It's Muslim. See, Muslim. But they are the son of a Muslim.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the Mason. When you get the shrine, you become a Muslim.
Okay.
And when you see them with the ones that got the fez tied down on the side of their fez, you know, the tassel is tied to the side of the fez, right? Okay. Right, that's the one that's not free. His tassel is pinned still to his hat. Now, when the one you see that got the tassel, when he could twirl the tassel around 360 degrees, that's the one that's free. When you meet your Eastern Star sister, and my daughter says, I always say, good morning, or how you doing, Sister Ruth? That's Ruth in the Bible. She going to respond to it. When you say that, she going to respond to you because you think you know something. Then I always say to her, just say, remember this. Just say, is it very dark night at the night? She will say, not so dark that I can't see you. What do you see? A scarlet line. Wild scarlet line. A scarlet line saved my life in a time of day. What color was it? Red. Why red? Red represents the blood and the freedom of my people. Oh, well, we ain't going that far. I ain't taking you that way. Right? We go that route another day.
Okay.
But the
Jews, are they looking for Musa to come back as their not savior?
No.
But what they call
No. They the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, they follow scripture well. They know Imam Muhammad. They knew that Majedi was coming.
Mm-hmm.
See, their concept of Esau returning is the same concept we got. When Prophet Muhammad, they were saying the Quran, there will come a time when Prophet Muhammad and Jesus will be walking side by side. Meaning that the religions will come into agreement. See, Allah say, when you ask the people, say, what is Allah's religion? Oh, El-Islam, no. Allah say, El-Islam is your religion. I ask you, what was Allah's religion? Now, Allah said in the Quran that his religion is tolerance. So when you see Muhammad and Jesus walking side by side, that means that these two groups have tolerated each other and came into agreement. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. But that's coming from a mental aspect, right? Not physically, right?
Right, Right. We know ain't no man died on this planet to come back. Nobody come back. If anybody had the right to come back, it would be Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And he come back. Mm-hmm. He said, me and Jesus, in the last day, you see me and Esau, Jesus, walking side by side.
Mm-hmm. So Muslims don't believe in reincarnation?
No. No. What you going to reincarnate? And let's look at the word, reincarnate. You're going to coordinate what? See, that's the trick. That's psychology. Re-coordinate. That's what they're saying. But they said another way to trick you. What you going to coordinate? You better correlate the knowledge that God had gave us from both scriptures and come into agreement with each other. That's what you need to that's what you need to do. That's the correlation. That's the reincarnation.
But when they say reincarnation,
I talked to
the
guy. Say it again.
When they say reincarnation, that means when they say reincarnation, it means you come back as when your body passes on, your soul passes on, you come back as a bird or that's why the Buddhists don't kill roaches, because they said there's somebody around some in reincarnation. Coming back.
Well, we know a lion told us that. So anyway, look at the word reincarnation. See, they use psychology because the word is really meaning that to reincarnate the knowledge that God has sent from all scriptures. That's the only way you're gonna come back, right?
Okay.
Okay. Let's go back to what Allah said in the Quran. Say not that my servant is dead. Is that what Allah said?
Right.
Say, think back that my servant is dead. Say, they in a place way better than what you think of, but you can't conceive it. Mm-hmm. So you don't go, dead. No, you don't say that. And why we don't say that? What do you mean Muhammad tell us, Kuzaya? What do you say? When the body lays down, when you lay your body down, right, your spirit roams the earth for 3 days to find a body to get in. Not what Imam Muhammad said, not you on that one.
Repeat that again. Repeat that again.
Imam Muhammad said that when you lay the body down, the body dies. You don't die. The body goes back to the earth. He said when that body laid down, your spirit roams the earth for 3 days to find another body to get in. Think on that one.
So that was get into play.
That takes a deep one. That takes a deep one. That takes a deep one, a real deep thought there.
Yeah, okay, just like, you know, they say, if you have a lot of things that wasn't attended to as a believer, and when Allah takes your soul away from here and lay your body down, you may have too much karma to go to the next level. That's seven levels of heaven, right? Okay, so that means that Allah will place you in someone else to be able to work that karma off. So I prayed to a lot of dying martyrs. So I go straight on the paradise. I ain't got to go through them changes like the channels. And so that's six levels of heaven. Everybody not on the same level. You got to work your way you got to work your way up. So you burn that karma home. The wrongs that you did, Allah put you in a place. They got a term called infamous. It's a warehouse where the souls be at. And all these souls do is walk around with their head down, crying and weeping. And they're waiting to be judged by Allah. So the angel that was in charge of you, they roam the earth. Everywhere you have been on the planet, that angel goes and he follows that trail that you've been trying to find one more degree of good you did to tilt your scale. Okay, Imam Muhammad, be quiet for a minute. I got to be Imam Muhammad now. That's what I tell you. When I tell a person, I challenge you, you better bring your lunch with you. And when I talk, I can go to scripture and say what I'm saying.
They said that everything comes from Allah is good. You know, they say even death is good.
Right.
Death is good. And that's what I was reading. You should think of death. You know, they say, I don't know if it was in the Holy Quran or where, but it's saying that you shouldn't speak of death so often. You know, like that. You shouldn't speak of it.
Right.
But death
right.
is good. Death is good. Alhamdulillah.
Everything alive, and it's for a reason.
And,
it's for a reason.
Somebody,
you know,
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
Let me give you this. We know that our sisters, even us, they might have been married 3, 4, 5 times, right? Do you know what that when that sister passes and enters the paradise, Allah gives her the opportunity to choose what husband she wanted to be with?
Wow. Suppose he already be chosen by somebody else.
Well, you know, it's like this. I said from Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that when we ended up blessed in the paradise, he would allow you to call 80 members of your family in the paradise. 80.
Alhamdulillah.
So Allah was most merciful before he created Adam, and he's most merciful after Jesus. And that's why Muhammad came into the world and said, what? Mercy to the world. The Allah is most merciful. He's going to allow you to call 80 members of your family in the paradise, and they may be in hell.
No, I was just saying that's beautiful. That's a good sign of letting you know, be careful how you treat people.
Yes. My mama said a long time ago, yes, ma'am. Say, look, be careful who you speak to on the street. I said, well, mama, be careful who you speak to on the street, and don't never disrespect nobody. I said, what you talking, mama? I said, you may be talking to an angel and don't even know it.
So every five prayers
we make a day. Don't you know that the death angel visits you at every prayer time, and he tells you, I'm not ready for you yet. Every prayer time, the death angel says, but I ain't ready for you yet.
And touch that hood when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it makes you so light. God is an angel closer to you, to earth with you.
Well, when you anytime you wake up after 12 o'clock, all the way to Fajr, Allah don't go back from the first. Allah comes down to the first level of heaven, and He do not go back until Fajr come in. So you can still make Tahajjud all the way up to that time. Now, when Tahajjud come in, you're leading the angels in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're leading them. That's why they're there with you.
But you go to sleep first and wake up.
Yeah, go take a little nap, and whenever time Allah wake you up, I would say the best time to get up at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. That's the best time to get up. And I learned this here. I found, you know, how people say, you know, get up at 12 o'clock midnight and make Prophet Muhammad waited till the almost got close to the Fajr time to make his tahajjud.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law down on the first level.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And I was back to what Quran was saying too before when she mentioned it's good. She had mentioned that it was anyway. It was said that when you die, it's like being good. I mean, it's something good. It's not don't consider it something.
Yeah, death and life is good.
Right. Yeah, death is good.
Death and life is good.
And I recall. And I recall the it's read in the Quran too that. Where it says live today, as if you're gonna die tomorrow, but yet live today as if you're living forever.
Right.
Right.
And you know, as far as death, let's go to the Bible. The ones that be falling out, having a fit, because one of the loved ones that passed on. Right. You know what the Bible say about them? Now this Bible. The Bible said the one that do the hollering and wailing and all that with the dead bodies gone, said they are heathens. Stay away from them. They're heathens. That's what Allah tells us in the Quran. My mom said you got 3 days to put the body away and do your little weeping. But after that, it's over with.
That's
you should go on with your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Hajjah. That's Hajjah. I hear Hajjah. But, you know, I was reading somewhere. It was one of the good books, and it was stating that, because I always thought that my soul belongs to Allah. But it was reading, it was saying, oh, your soul belongs to you, but your spirit belongs to Allah.
Well,
what is your soul?
We had to break that term down. We had to break spirit down, and we had to break the soul down.
Mm-hmm.
Because the soul grows with you. from a child, from an infant, all the way through your life.
Mm-hmm.
But the spirit is what activates everything. Without spirit, don't nothing exist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I never thought it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the main thing that you can do too, Quran, what I found to be easier for me. Try and find things when you know different scriptures and know different things. Try to connect them and put them together, and then you'll come to a better understanding of what the meaning
is.
I tell you what we do. Sister Daya. Sister Daya.
Yeah.
Me and you and Sister Quran, y'all pick a day and stuff. We get together, and we're going to talk about soul and spirit. Just us two. I'm not going to be there. Just us. We're going to expand our ideas of thought of the Quran the way Allah said it. Now, you and I already went through it.
If I do, right. I like to bring my daughter. I got a daughter that's really just, I mean, you see your children, you see your son, you say, like you see that he's really going to be a good imam or a leader or something like that. I have a daughter
right.
like that. She's very and she loves Islam, she wants to hang on. You can tell when your child want to hang on to Islam, they start hanging on to other religions, because she said she went over to Farrakhan. You know, and she said what she liked it about them is discipline. That's what a lot of them do is that discipline. And that's what they needing.
That's the way
I told her, I said, Imam, I heard the Imam say he never did told the brothers to stop that. You know, he never told them to stop
it. He didn't.
That's
why
a lot of
times people
But that's what I told her. She kept saying something. But I told her, I said, but that's okay. I said, we never really spoke against them. Only Imam Wardi Muhammad, only one got out in public and spoke, you know, if Farrakhan do something wrong. We might share among ourselves, you know, about this and about that. But we never went out in public and spoke against them.
Well, I sat on the floor with him. I know him personally. And he sent brothers to Detroit to get me because he wanted me to follow him. And I told the brothers, go back and tell my father he met Wardi Muhammad. So, but now you get on the phone. We can talk. Well, we can talk.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing they did have with this thing. That's why a lot of parents used to love to send their children to Sister Clara Muhammad School during the days of Elijah Muhammad and the University of Islam because of the discipline.
But you know what? I think. You know. We don't grow so much now. Praise be to Allah. I think we miss the boat. Many people say they missed the boat, and I said when you miss the boat, you miss the understanding of what we are really saying. The discipline that we had, but we weren't disciplined spiritually. We weren't disciplined in the Quran, in the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet. We was conditioned physically.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I told her. I told her, that's okay because, I said, well, you already know, because she said, I already know, about, Wardi Muhammad and all like that, whatever she was raised, but this is the part she didn't know. And so, and I told her, I said, that's okay because they're coming over because this is the second step. And one time she told me to listen on something dealing with Farrakhan. I don't know if Islam or whatever, but it was. But he was teaching nothing but Islam. He said the Fatiha, and he said it so perfect and good. And then he was talking nothing about Allah. He said nothing about that. He talked about the Prophet. He never said nothing about a black nationalist at all. And then I said, I guess he's almost ready. His time must be getting close, and it's time for them to start coming to the second step. And I said, there were just some people just wasn't ready. That's what I told her. I said, some of them just wasn't ready. And then they did pull more in, too. So I said, that was a blessing right there. Alhamdulillah.
I meet people that follow Farrakhan, and they ask me about Farrakhan, and I tell them this. I say rhetoric is no substitute for programming. Huh? I said good rhetoric is no substitute for programming. I said now what made me fall out with him? I respect him because I know him. I said what made me fall out with him when he gave a Savior Day speech 2 years ago, and I saw it on YouTube. I listened to him. And he was telling about the creation of Allah. to that community. And he was saying that Allah was created from a sperm drop. And in my mind, I said, nigga, I'm through with you right there. But Allah's in the Quran.
Oh.
You try to find out who Allah is, and you forget your own origin. That's talking about you. That ain't talking about Allah.
He had said something dealing with Jesus closer to something dealing, you know, and that disrespect too. And I knew then that something was twisted. Also, he did say, I believe.
Yeah.
You know,
see, that's when the knowledge comes by degrees. You know what I'm saying? You can't learn it all at one time. So discipline is
no.
The first resurrection. What'd you say?
You're right,
man.
But
yeah.
I said you're right.
Knowledge by degrees, we can't learn all at one time, and so that's why they have different disciplines and different levels. That's why the physical discipline was good for our children. They started the University of Islam and Sister Claremont School.
Yes.
So they had to be disciplined. They had to sit down and be quiet and learn some kind of, truth, hear the truth. And their little minds had to be set straight, you know. And almost
right,
like a,
yes.
So they can keep their attention and keep their focus.
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation with a brother. I said, just for Ramadan came in, Father Crown Followers. Him and I was talking, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yes. And you can use this as a Quran with your daughter. Say, was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Claire Muhammad liars? Oh, no. No, I said, wait a minute now. I said, this, I'm going to ask you this again. I said, was Sister Claire Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad liar? No, brother. No, the messenger is a I said, okay, now listen to this. I said, Sister Claire Muhammad, who was taught by Farah Muhammad in his class, she asked him, are you Allah? He said, no. She said, well, are you a prophet? He said, even that job too big for me. He said, well, brother, I said, think on it. Don't respond. And I said, think on it, and you and I'll talk again if I see you again. He said, brother, I got to think about that. I said, that's why I asked you that question that way. If it's Claire Muhammad, I'm like, I'm a liar. When she asked for Rob, was he a liar? He said, no. She said, well, are you a prophet? He said, even that job too big for me. So why are you still saying that he a liar?
Allah in the person. Came in the person.
Yeah, Allah ain't in no person or human being. Allah's spirit moved to us.
Right. That's right.
That's why the angel Gabriel come to the prophet and bring the message from Allah to the messengers and prophets. And then we incorporate that spirit and it become flesh. The word comes flesh, not Allah.
Right. My husband said that Sister Lala chime in on that to Haji Lala. Come in on that conversation.
Okay,
it could be a conversation.
Come on. Assalamualaikum, Sister
Haji. Assalamualaikum, everyone.
Waalaikum
assalam,
rahmatullah.
I just heard them say that the Imam said just left me. Anyway, the Imam. Chief Imam W.D. Muhammad Rali Allah, he said he had asked his mom, do you think that Farad is God? And she didn't say nothing. She put her head down.
Farad is God.
That's right. Right. That's right.
I heard.
He said,
let
me say this. He was at the house, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted him to follow him. And follow and accept Farad as being Allah, and he said, no, I couldn't do it. So Imam Elijah Muhammad dismissed Imam Muhammad, and as he walked through the door, Sister Claire Muhammad walked through the door with him, and she asked him, she said, go back in there with your father and accept your father, you know, and work with him. And he said, mother, how can I do that when you told me yourself that Farad ain't Allah? And he left. And he left.
Yeah, and he wanted him to be his savior. His father and child, Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Right, he said, my father is more my savior than Farad is. I'm Elijah Muhammad is more my savior than the Farad is.
And yeah, he told him to punch his
savior. I talked to two of the family members, and they said that Sister Clara Muhammad told them that Master Farad never said that he came in the person of Allah.
That's right. He never did.
Yeah.
He never did.
Well, what did he get?
They got it from the older members of the Nation of Islam.
They got that from the agents that came in there.
Members of the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, Elijah didn't want them to praise him. Elijah didn't want, but they come up of all praise due to all of Elijah Muhammad. He didn't want that. They started that.
They know that because that was false, and they know that it wouldn't hold. Later on, it wouldn't hold.
Right. If you go back into the 50s, 60s, all the tapes, cassettes that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made, what did he say when he come on? He said, greetings to you. I'm Elijah Muhammad, the preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to you, my beloved people. He never said Messenger of Allah.
Right.
They gave him their title.
It's just like in the Bible, where Jesus said God. You won't find it in the Bible nowhere. I don't know why people keep saying that Jesus is God.
He never said it. When he asked him, who do you say that I am? They said, we say that you're the Son of God. The next verse, I'm going to say, go and tell no man that. He said, go and tell no man that. Go ahead.
I want to say we never heard the saying that Jesus was God until they start integrating, because we never.
Yes.
Because I went to church and they never said that. They never said that.
So that shows you right there who was the one who started it. That shows you right there. Caucasian started that with that Constantine
thing
and all that came
up. This is why I want to say one thing. I said they, what is so quiet? You got all these people out here and over here in the United States of America, and every time I look at the paper, I only see us doing the shooting and doing the killing. Only time they're putting Caucasian there is he doing something to a child. And I'm saying to myself, are you telling me that we the only people that's doing wrong here and nobody else? I don't hear nothing about the Mexicans, the Jews, and nobody. I mean, I'm just saying, are we the only one? Because they don't publicize that they're doing crime. Because I know when they do a crime, sometimes they just ship them back to their country, and nothing happens to them. They just ship them back to their country.
Yeah. What we have to look at is that reason you don't hear a lot of them like you're saying we do, because remember now, they have certain privilege that we don't have, that we never had. So, and one thing about them, I don't care how rotten they are, how wrong they are, you have to, like Imam Muhammad, I'm like Muhammad said it, you got to respect them. Why? Because they stick together. They can have a corporation, multi-billion-dollar corporation, and the one up there mess with some money. They don't throw him out on the street. They take him and put him down in the mail room and let him grow back again. See, they don't throw him out there so you would know what's going on in the family. But we do.
But we do.
You know Imam Muhammad told him. Let me say this to you. Come on. Imam Muhammad said that if you set an imam down, he said, set him down. He said, give him something to do. He said, if you don't, you'll create a devil.
Alhamdulillah.
That's what I said.
We got brothers and sisters that you know, like who was out there and cast the first stone, but we still love them. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we won't be with them on certain things because of their way. But we still love them. So, but you don't recommend them to nobody. That's your friend like that. You don't recommend them to nobody. You don't promote them to a higher stage, just like you said. But, you know, because we had a brother like that, I told you what he did. We had a program, and he gave every man that came in town, he gave him a rental car. And we just got to laugh, and we said, wow. So we just make sure that he don't handle that position no more because he was a good soldier. And so when
you do like Imam Muhammad said, and like Allah said in the Quran, this is what you got to do. I don't care what nobody else say, how they view it, their own concept about it, the way they look at it. No, you do what Allah said in the Quran. You love what Allah love, and you hate what Allah hate. That makes you safe right there. You hate what Allah hate, and you love what Allah love.
Mm-hmm.
That free you. That free you from that person or what they doing.
You were saying something, Hajalala?
No, I think it was Queen through the Quran, I mean.
Oh.
No,
Okay.
This
what's
has been a good. She's at Hajalala.
Hajalala.
I want you got a phone on mute.
Unmute your phone. Hajalala.
Because I
have
the indication that she
had
something to say.
Yeah. I tell you what, we got 4 minutes. Let me make offer. Let's close out, and then we can still talk afterwards. So if they cut us off, we're done closed out. So a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Bismillahi rahman rahim. Wa asri. Inna l'insana lafi kusri. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب الحمد لله رب العالمين Okay. How about we're going to turn the program over to our sisters. We're going to sit back and listen now.
No, because the brother Suja come on and this is Thursday night. This is brother's night.
That's right.
He had the master tonight.
This the brother's night. No, still it's the brother's night.
Yeah, that's the brother's night. Since they gonna sit back, we just thank you for letting us chime in and contribute.
But didn't we change BUII from Brothers United Industry to the Believers United Industry? So every night should be our night combined together.
This not BUII. This is remove all.
No. I'm making a comparison. Every night should be our night together. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, this is business. It's a whole other.
I can't block you out. No, you can't block the mom. How you gonna lock the mom out the house?
Yeah,
now she can lock us out the house, but you can't put the mom out the house.
Sister Hajalala, you want
can't even
to
thank nothing like that. That's unthinkable, ain't it, Sister Daya? Putting your mama out, that's unthinkable. You can't even think of nothing like
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why we say this. Our Lord,
respect.
Let not our hearts turn back to corruption after you have guided us, and from your presence grant us mercy. That's why we say
anyway.
That.
Amen.
And just Robert's Rules of Law says, anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and always expect the unexpected. So throwing the mothers and the wives.
That's right. They said that, but they didn't put this with it. Don't nothing go wrong or the way it's supposed to go unless Allah will or so.
As a man think it, so shall it be. I told my children, all that stuff they see on TV right now, that Marvel TV, I said, that stuff, y'all time, I already know what that is. Ain't nothing but laser. That's all that is. They shooting out of this laser. And I said, you guys gonna be? That's what y'all gonna be because when I saw Maxwell Smart on remember he had the phone out of his shoe, and that's not what we're doing right now. Is the phone out of his shoe? I said. And then when they say there's gonna come a time that you gonna have a card and you gonna have all your money back, you'll get your money off the card. And I said, I said to myself, how you gonna get your change back? I didn't understand.
And you were rich.
And now it's here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm making Sister Lala. Will you, Lala? Will you give us a phone?
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me put some glasses. Okay.
Don't
I have the glasses. Here we go. A law doesn't create a lock without its key, and a law doesn't give you problems without solutions. Trust Allah. Amen. 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 Okay.
Amen.
I have another one. Okay. Allah does not look at your figure nor at your attire, but Allah looks at your heart and complaint. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
And yes, you can fly. I can take one more before you close up. I like to do an odd number. Take the time every day to be thankful for everything that you have. You can always have more, but you can also have less.
No need to play.
No, it don't help to complain no how. It don't help to complain no how. You know, take a complaint to Allah. Remember Allah remember you.
Alhamdulillah.
But Allah to resolve of all our affairs in the right way.
Well, good people, tomorrow we won't be home. But if you come in Saturday to bring a guest if you can. We sure appreciate it. This Rock Talk Radio Station is sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. And we want to appreciate it, all of everybody who came on tonight. And may Allah continue to bless us all. And we are making progress. Yeah. Thank Allah for everyone.
I mean, and don't forget, you can make it to do the Friday Juma. You know,
be online.
Have it on the Lifeline, you can also have it on the Blog Talk Radio Station.
Yeah,
that's right.
Remember the hours.
Right. Blog Talk is 2 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Right?
Yes.
2 o'clock.
But it wouldn't be
2 p.m. for Blog Talk and 1:45 for Lifeline.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?